No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Alrighty, so we are back on a Wisco Fanatics Tuesday night. It's been a while, been a hot minute since we had a Tuesday night show with all the guys. Today's show, we're going to be going through the Packers pending free agents, and then five free agents on each side of the ball, and then two trade ideas for each of us. So you'll get eight total trades, although some of them will be the same as us. So we're going to hit the intro, and then after that, we will bring in our guest as well.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All righty. So we are back. Mike, welcome back. Good to have you back. I've been excited to have you back on a show, and now we got you for the Packers pending free agents and free agency targets and trade ideas. So we're excited to get your input on all of that. So it's good to have you back. How's your offseason going?
It's going all right. I mean, it's been, pretty low key so far, other than the fact that when I was at the Combine in Indy last week, I caught a cold. So my voice isn't the best right now. So I apologize for that. But I feel better than I sound. I'm hoping to be coming out the back end of it here.
And I mean, all since right, you're at Combine, you already know the Packers' entire draft board. And you can tell us exactly how it's going to go, right?
Yeah, I get to look at it every day. I take pictures with my phone, it'll be interesting. Not as many picks for Goody going into the draft this year as the last couple years. So we'll see what he can do and what he comes out with.
All right, so we do have a little bit of news that already came out between the last couple days and tonight, being mainly the re-signings of Isaiah McDuffie and Brandon McManus. So we have two guys back already that we know of on the Packers pending free agents. The other guys to be keeping an eye on: Andre Dillard, AJ Dillon, Josh Myers, Tyler Davis, John Fitzpatrick. Those are some of the other guys. So Bryant, I'll start with you. Are any of those guys the guys that you would want to bring back?
Honestly, no. For me, the two that I was interested in, Brandon McManus, who finally brought some sort of like stability to that position, was a huge signing for, in my opinion. And then I did look at Isaiah McDuffie and I was like, well, if we bring him back for a depth piece, that's fine. And so coming into it, those were the two I really thought we might look at. It'll be interesting. The other one I want to kind of keep tabs on a little bit is Josh Myers market and see what we're doing there versus who else is, a couple other really good centers on the free agency, roster that we can look at. So I'm kind of going to keep an eye on that one. For me, I think it's probably time to move on, but sometimes I feel like the Packers like get defensive and it's like, oh, someone else wants to sign them, so we're gonna hurry up and sign them. So we'll see what happens there.
Simon, any of those guys that you want back?
the unrestricted guys?
Yeah, the pending guys.
So the only other one that I would maybe be interested in is, it's hard to imagine losing Jair Alexander and Eric Stokes. So if they could strike maybe a deal, like a short-term deal with Eric Stokes as like a prove-it deal, he's still young. I think injuries kind of derailed his career, but I thought he played decent enough at the end of the year to maybe he could still, show out. So I wouldn't be mad if they offered him a small prove it contract.
I can see that. Jake, what about you?
No, I think we're good. I think we're good. I think McManus and McDuffie, there's some pretty interesting free agents out there, talking about the cornerback, defensive line, linebacker position. There's some interesting guys out there, some vets that I think would fill some spots a lot better than the guys that we have leaving.
I still think there's a route of bringing back Josh Myers, maybe just if he's – I don't know that he's going to be interested in a short-term deal, but if you can get him to maybe on a one-year deal to kind of give Jordan Morgan maybe a little bit more experience, and then maybe if you want to bring John Fitzpatrick back as tight end four, I guess I'd be okay with that. Mike, I don't know if there's any of those guys that you've got a ton of personal feelings on the offensive side of the ball at least. But otherwise, like a lot of the secondary guys, like Zane Anderson, Corey Ballantyne, Robert Rochelle, and then Eric Wilson and TJ Slayton are also free agents. So, Mike, I don't know about any of your thoughts on the pending free agents.
Yeah, I mean, for me, when the offseason started, the only guy that I thought of that was an absolute must to the Packers got to bring this guy back was Brandon McManus. And hearing that news today that McManus is back in the fold, and it's for a kicker, it's a fairly long-term deal. It sounds like a three-year deal based on what's been reported. So that was the only guy for me that was at the top of the list that it's like, you absolutely have to bring this guy back. As far as other guys, I mean, I agree with a lot of the comments you guys are making on some of the other players. I am curious to see what happens with Josh Myers, you know, what kind of market he's going to have. You know, Goody at the combine, he really made it sound like the Packers are going to pursue re-signing Myers just by the way he phrased a couple of his comments there. As, you know, reading between the lines a little bit, I just get a feeling that they're going to try to re-sign him. Now, of course, if the price just goes above what they're comfortable with, then you know, the Packers are like, hey, you know, we set our value, and if it goes above that, you know, they're fine with saying goodbye, and that's the way this business goes. So the only other guy that I would mention in addition to the ones that you guys have already talked about maybe would be TJ Slayton. And I know there's been so much focused on, you know, the pass rush and improving the pass rush and everything in the offseason. The one thing that I keep kind of harping on, I don't want it to be like my hobby horse, so to speak, but you know, this Packers defense made some huge strides against the run. I mean, where this team ended up defensively against the run in 2024 compared to where it was for a lot of years leading up to Jeff Hafley taking over as defensive coordinator. I'm not saying the Packers don't need to improve their pass rush. Absolutely, that is the focus. You want to be able to, as Goody has said many times, you got to be able to get after the quarterback with four. You got to affect the quarterback with a straight four-man rush, not have to get fancy with blitzes and fake blitzes and zone drops and all that kind of stuff. But my biggest question is, can the Packers do what they need to do with their pass rush without taking a step back in the run defense, considering all of the progress that's been made just in the 1 year under Hafley with the run defense? And I would hate to see the run defense become a problem again. And that's just the one reason that I sort of have TJ Slayton in the back of my mind, because I know he's not a pass rusher, but he is a pretty darn good run defender. And I just wonder what his market would be and what the Packers' interest would be in bringing him back.
And definitely the depth aspect of it too, as far as the D line is concerned. Justin, welcome back. Good to have you back. Scott asked the question, is Jair going to be a Packer? Justin said Jair was one of my favorite players, but with his injury history, I'd be okay leaving him leave for the right trade. Mike, I'll go to you again. Thoughts on Jair, if he's going to remain a Packer?
I mean, if I'm making a prediction, I mean, based on, you know, what's been out there that the Packers are, you know, reportedly looking at potential trade offers or, you know, trying to shop him a little bit. I just don't see him being back. And it's not even so much the, you know, the $17.5 million or whatever his salary is for 2024. But I just think with all the injuries that they've dealt with him, that I think they want to get his 2026 salary off the books as well. And this is the time to do it. And if they can get something for him, if they can get a day three draft pick for him, I think Goody would take that. I don't see it, you know, being a very high draft pick by any means. But by the same token, you know, teams out there are kind of anticipating the Packers moving on from Alexander. And if he's just going to be released and be on the open market, I don't know if anybody's going to, you know, going to give anything up. Can the Packers renegotiate his contract? I mean, yeah, that's an option, but that's something that both sides have to agree to. And I can't speak for Jair Alexander as to whether he would want to renegotiate his deal with the Packers or whether he'd rather find out what somebody on the open market wants to pay him.
Yeah. My dad asked the question, in our division, is run defense the bigger problem or pass defense? I'll say me right away jumping out. I would lean run. I mean, you look at the Vikings, obviously, I don't know if Aaron Jones is going to be back or not, but the Bears want to run the ball. Obviously their quarterbacks is going to run, and the Lions have probably the best two-man running back room in the NFL. I don't know if any of you guys have any thoughts on the division as far as run versus pass defense.
I don't know. That's tough, because then you look at Minnesota and you're sitting there dealing with T.J. Hockenson and Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. Then you look at the Lions and you have Sam Laporta and, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then you look at the Bears, they have some older guys, but, you know, Rome Odunze, I still think, can be a problem, Cole Kmet. So I feel like if you give a little bend a little bit on the rust, you know, run defense, as long as you're not getting smoked in the pass defense, which we've seen happen to – actually, we didn't give up that many big plays this year, actually. But I think we gave up like one 40-yard play, and that was in the playoffs or something like that. But, you know, if we're constantly getting those second downs and third downs and shorts because we're giving up a, you know, 8-9 yard slant on first down, that becomes a pretty quick problem for us. And we've seen that happen several times. You see teams like the Eagles or whoever we go up against, as soon as you give up that big first, you know, yards on first down, they're just going to tush push or run the ball to another first down. And it's hard to get off the field against that team, our team like that. And we have a couple of those, the Lions I would put in that, you know, if we let them get chunks on the pass game, it's hard to stop their run game on the next couple downs.
So Scott asked, who is a good fit to replace Jair? We can start on the defensive side of the ball if you guys want to start and talk defense. So I don't know if there's anything else you guys want to say on the
I just had something quick for the free agents too, is because the reason why I said unrestricted free agents is like, so the exclusive rights free agents are a little bit different, to where the Packers can offer them a qualifying offer and they don't get to like hear from any other team. So guys like Zane Anderson, Aaron Mosby, Manuel Wilson, I think the Packers will just extend an offer their way, and they'll be competing for a roster spot. And I have no problem with that. Bo Melton and Kadeem Telfer are the two other guys. I have no problem with bringing any of those guys back to compete for a roster spot next year, especially Emmanuel Wilson. I think he did a lot of good stuff last year as kind of that RB2-3 guy.
Yeah. And one other person I wanted to talk about real quick is, I don't know what his NFL career looks like, but if AJ Dillon decides to retire, I think they should bring him back just to be around the team and be around a locker room guy or whatever. You know what I mean? Like maybe a running back coach, or just a, not necessarily a coach, but just an assistant or something, just because he's just such, that's just my own personal feelings, because he's such a great guy and he loves Green Bay and he loves Wisconsin so much.
Just have him be the lower leg conditioning coach.
Yeah.
I recently learned that my dad is a big AJ Dillon.
On AJ Dillon or any of the running backs?
What was that?
I was asking Mike if he had any info on any of the running backs.
Oh, no, I mean, I expect, I mean, honestly, my thought is the Packers are probably going to go into next season with Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and Emmanuel Wilson as the three backs, you know, barring other injury issues and whatnot. I think that's the way it lines up. You know, that's not to say they might, you know, I mean, yeah, maybe they draft another running back like on day three or something like that, or, you know, certainly they'll bring in, you know, some undrafted prospects at that position, you know, just to get through the preseason and see what somebody has as maybe a practice squad candidate. But if Marshawn Lloyd is healthy, you know, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, and Emmanuel Wilson, yeah, that's a pretty good threesome in the backfield. I think they'd be happy with that.
Taylor brought up the other guy that I think Chris we had Brooks. In mind was Chris Brooks as well. Would you consider keeping four running backs?
That's a really tough question. I don't know. I don't know if you can have four on the 53. I mean, unless one of them is really like a, you know, almost more of like a linebacker type on special teams where they're playing, you know, on like the four core units and everything, which, you know, usually those guys, yeah, they might play on one or two special teams units, but not necessarily all of them. So, you know, but maybe, I mean, maybe this develops as Jacobs and Lloyd as the 1-2 and Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks kind of duke it out for, you know, for that third roster spot at running back. I mean, that could be how it evolves, assuming everybody's healthy.
Yep. Yeah, I think both of them showed enough last year to where it would be really hard to stash either Chris or Emmanuel Wilson's onto our practice squad. I think someone would snatch one of them up pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I just don't see being able to keep four running backs in this day and age on the 53. And yeah, I mean, they might have to make a decision and cut a good player, but nobody in the NFL complains about having to cut good players. That means you're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
Taylor asked the question, Wilson or Brooks, which one would you rather have? I think if we're looking just last season, we kind of have the answer on that one, and it's Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah.
Chris Brooks brings good things as a pass blocker, but just as far as running backs go, I think Emmanuel Wilson is the more talented
running back. Yeah, he's a better natural runner.
All right. So we can go to the defensive side of the ball to kind of start answering questions. Scott asked questions about replacing Jaire Alexander, and I think we're going to find – some of these guys that are going to play the same position as Jaire and Stokes and Ballantyne and Robert Rochelle as far as cornerbacks are concerned. So you guys want to go five all the way around, or you want to go five through one and then each of us go?
I say five all the way around.
All right.
Yeah. I didn't really rank my guys.
Yeah. We'll start with you then, Brian. Who's your number five?
Yeah. We'll jump right into a cornerback room. And I think it's Tre'Davious Ward. I think Tre'Davious Ward had a rough last year, but he had some tragic stuff happen in his life, unfortunately. And he's came out and said he needs a fresh start. And I think, you know, he's young enough to where, you know, we bring him in. He could, and if he plays like he returns to form, he could be a very good player for us. He could be our number one corner.
Come right here.
All right, Jake.
Come right here. I see you looking at my notebook, boy. I see you. I also have Tre'Davious Ward, 29, from San Francisco. He did say he wants a fresh start. He did have a tragic death last year. His daughter ended up passing away. So I think a change of scenery would be good. Guy who's been good in the past, played on some dominant defenses, has some playoff experience, been in the Super Bowl before. Could be a veteran leader that that cornerback room could need next year. Can't believe you said that.
Taylor said cheater. Simon, who's your number five?
So like Jake, I didn't really rank mine, so I'm just gonna go from the bottom up of what I wrote Tyrell Dodson. He plays linebacker. I thought he was really excellent in coverage last year. I wouldn't mind bringing him in to kind of shore up that middle of the field. I think there was a lot of plays last year where we just got hit deep in that middle part of the field and lost some like third longs and stuff.
Justin said when Ward gets mentally healthy, he will be a good leader. Not Cam Ward. No, we don't need a quarterback. He's going number one.
AFAM's back. I forgot about this guy.
Tre'Davious Ward from the Niners. So my number five, I have Malcolm Kuntz. He did miss 2024 to injury, but he did have 8 sacks in 2023, and he's still only going to be 27 in June. So, Mike, you have any thoughts on any of those four guys, or three guys, I should say?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the last two guys that were mentioned, but what I will say about a cornerback like Ward is he's the kind of, I guess I would say, that mid-tier free agent, like not at the top of the market, but a guy with plenty of experience, You know, he's not necessarily going to come cheap, but he's more of that that middle tier free agent guy that I could see the Packers pursuing a guy like that. I'm sure you guys will bring up other names as well. You know, just looking at the way they line up at quarterback, I mean, you know, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, I just totally drew a blank. Who am I forgetting of the top three?
Nixon, Stokes, Ward.
And Javon Bullard as the slot. So if you're going in with those as essentially like your nickel package at cornerback with Nixon, Valentine and Bullard, that's a perfectly good spot to be in. But then, you know, where are you when somebody gets hurt? Where are you when you want to go to a dime and get a fourth corner on the field as opposed to, you know, a dime defense being with a third safety, which is another package. But I think the cornerback room, now we'll see what they do with Stokes and Ballantyne and guys like that, you know, if those guys come back or not, but the depth of the cornerback room is what I'm really curious about as far as how it evolves here this off season.
Yeah. Justin, I'll come back to your guy if he doesn't show up on any of our lists, but Brian, give me your number four.
Wait, hold on. Let me go. Because I had Malcolm Kuntz as my four.
Oh, nice, nice. All right, I like it. All right, Brian, who's your number four?
So, well, real quick, Justin, that guy was my number six. But my number four is because we need to help in pass rush. He would be a pass rush specialist. And I put Khalil Mack. I know he's going to come in. He's going to be on those pass, you know, those pass passing downs. But he can still wreck people. And I just feel like his strength on the opposite side of Rashawn Gary's strength. And then just bull rushing, and you know, Khalil has more moves than Rashawn. For one, I think he could teach Rashawn and LVN a few things, and then I feel like he can still be a very productive pass rusher too.
You can see that, Jake. Who's your number four?
Yeah, staying on the pass rusher kind of thread here, I have Josh Sweat for Philadelphia. He's going to be expensive though. Had a really really good year for Philadelphia. They have a stacked defensive line. That did not take away from him. He shined in the Super Bowl. He did take a pay cut going into this last season in 2024, so he's probably going to look to get paid a little bit, but 2.5 sacks. In my opinion, when you stack up the Packers' defensive line, what's the one thing they're missing? They're missing a guy with speed who could bend around the corner. That's Josh Sweat. He would be an absolute home run hit if that was able to happen.
Yeah. Afam said he'd give Mack a 2-year deal. That would be interesting. Justin, I'll come back to those guys as well if they don't get to them either. Number four, I have Asante Samuel Jr. from the Chargers. He is
small.
Okay, here's the thing. He is – let me say my clever thing about him, and then we can talk about him.
Okay.
He is great value Trayvon Diggs. He's essentially a guy who's going to give up – he's going to give up some big plays, but he's also got 9 interceptions to go with the 14 touchdowns that he's given up. He does have a 91.4 NFL QB grade, so it's like slightly under the average, but he is basically a guy who, if you wanted to bring in somebody who's got kind of like a feast or famine type cornerbacking, if you're like, all right, we're going to stick a guy out there that's going to get burned sometimes, but he's also going to take some chances and get some interceptions. So that's why I don't have him higher on my list, because he's not like a shutdown type corner, but... Taylor said he would be our McKinney signing of last year. I'm assuming referring to Josh Sweat, the best available free agent at the position of the most need. But Mike, I don't know if any of those guys stick out to you.
Well, first off, I just have to say I don't know how Josh Sweat was not the MVP of the Super Bowl. Like I just
strongly agree.
Get that. Like,
yeah, I agree.
We talked about that on a previous show. But anyway. Yeah, I mean, Jake's absolutely right. I mean, that Sweat is going to be like super expensive. I mean, he's looking to cash in big time. You know, I think the reason he's hitting the market, this is just my own speculation, but I think my guess is that, you know, the Eagles made him, you know, a reasonable offer, and he's like, no, I'm getting paid way more than that, and he's going to really cash in. I just don't know if. I don't know if the Packers would go there to that type of price for a guy who's, you know, never had a double-digit sack season. You know, yeah, they're, you know, he's still young, and there's certainly still some upside there, and it would just depend on that, you know, that type of evaluation. Khalil Mack was brought up, and that's an intriguing one, because that is not the type of signing that the Packers, and certainly with Gutekunst, would normally make. But if they're going into this with the idea that, you know, that they're going to draft a couple of pass rushers, and, you know, you're going to try to bring those guys along, and you're still trying to bring along Van Ness and whatnot on the edge, you know, a stopgap guy like Khalil Mack for 1 year and decent money, it does make some sense. You know, it's not the typical thing the Packers would do, but it is a little bit of an unusual situation going into this offseason with where they are. So I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I'd just be really, really curious what it would cost, you know, what Khalil Mack is looking for if he's just going to sign for 1 year. I'm not quite sure what that number would be.
I guess when I thought about him, I kind of thought back about Julius Peppers when we brought him in. So, granted, he played for us for 3 years.
Right.
And he also, you know, wanted to retire a Packer because the Bears still suck. But
my dad said, we spent money on an Eagles player before on defense that paid off huge. That's true. So I can ask you guys the question before we get into our number threes. Do either of you have Darius Slay or Garrett Bradbury? Or not Garrett Bradbury. What's his first
James.
Name? James Bradbury. Yeah. Do any of you have either of those two on your lists?
No.
Okay. Well, we can jump in there then. Justin asked, Slay and Bradbury both released by Philly. Zach Bond. Do any of you guys have Zach Bond?
Yes.
Okay. So let's do Slay and Bradbury before we keep going. We'll leave Zach Bond because he's going to be on lists. Would you guys consider either of those two? I don't know. I wouldn't be jumping like, yes, we need one of them, but I would at least kick the tires on Darius Slay.
Yeah, I would too.
Yes. He's old, but it would have to be like a 1 year, like we missed out on everyone else we wanted. So we'll bring in Darius Slay. I mean, he's 35 years old. So,
yeah. Slay is really the only consideration here. Bradbury's kind of cooked. Let's just call it what it is.
He's kind of always just been mid anyway.
he's pretty cooked.
All right, let's go to number three. I'll just jump in because Josh Sweat is my number three. I think when we're talking about what he's going to want to get paid, I feel like he's going to want to be around Chris Jones money. He's going to be he's going to want to be around $30 million a year, and that's
– So real quick, I'll jump ahead because Josh Sweat is my number two. The one thing I did notice is, holy cow, the Eagles have a lot of players on this top list, and they are not going to be able to pay them all.
True.
So Milton, I think his name is, and then they have Sweat, and then they have Bond, and then they just paid Saquon today. $20 million or $36 million guaranteed. So it's going to be interesting what that team does.
Yeah. Matthew, we're going to come around to offensive guys, but Myles Garrett might pop up in the trade section that we're going to do a little bit later yet too. So, Bryant, I'll just let you switch your three and your two. So if you brought up Josh Sweat, save your number three for when we get to the twos.
They're pretty close to each other anyway.
Okay. Jake, who's your number three?
That's where I have Zach Bond. I wrote pairing Zach Bond with Cooper would give the Packers a really, really stout nickel package and one of the best linebacker tandems in the NFL. You want to talk about speed, covering sideline to sideline, being able to cover running backs, tight ends, taking away that middle of the field, and you want to keep the run defense good, as Mike said before. Zach Bond with Edgerrin Cooper would be nasty, something we haven't seen in Green Bay in a long time.
That would be very interesting. Steve said SpotTrack has market value for Josh Sweat at $18 million.
Sign him right now.
I mean, if you're going to take away Jair's $17 million, you might as well just throw it at a pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
Simon, who's your number three or third on your list?
No, you're good. Josh Sweat was my number three.
Okay.
I just didn't want to interrupt. We kind of beat that dead horse, so.
Yeah. I thought I was going to be the only one because he's being so expensive.
Well, that was one of the reasons why I considered him leaving him off my list is I don't know how much money Goot wants to put in the edge room with no guys that have over 10 sacks in a year.
So So this concludes our round of Philadelphia free agents. Mike, any of those guys stick out to you that you would want?
Well, I mean, I'm not denying the year that Zach Bond had and what he did for that Philly defense, but based on everything that Goody has said about Quay Walker, and he envisions him as a long-term piece of the defense, and then we know, you know, where Edger and Cooper is headed, and you know,
as Canton. A
guy, I just don't see the Packers spending the money that it's going to take to bring in Zach Bond based on what's been said, you know, and what they have right now.
Yeah.
But
man, what a year Bond had. I mean,
yeah, he had a hell of a year.
You know, like, I mean, the New Orleans Saints have to be sitting there going like, okay, we just had this guy play special teams for 4 years. Like, that's all we, you know. Like, holy cats. I mean,
they can't afford him anyways.
We're linebacker you now. We are linebacker you now.
I'm telling you, you draft a linebacker out of Wisconsin, you can't go wrong. I mean, there have been, you know, the undrafted guys that, you know, that have made it too. And then here, I just heard today that the Bears are not going to tender Jack Sanborn. He's hitting the market now. You know, and it's just like all these Badger linebackers, all they do is step in and play and produce. And they're really, really solid NFL players, and yet they hop around to all these different teams. TJ Edwards and you know, Zach Bond, all these guys. It's crazy.
Andrew Van Ginkle had a great year in Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So let's go to number twos. And, Brian, give me your number two then.
Well, that's where I had Josh Sweat, but my number three, funny enough, was Zach Bond. And I agree with you. We probably – that's more like a dream scenario. Honestly, I think someone like Nick Bolton, too, would be very – kind of fun to add. Just
that was the other guy
that linebacker. Like, if we got another super solid linebacker to stick with Edrin, and then let Quay just use his speed like as a pass rusher and stuff, because he showed a lot. He started to show quite a bit as a pass rusher. I feel like that could be a very fun like trio. But that's a lot of money in the middle of the defense there that you don't see a lot. Well, not really actually. Too, you're gonna have to sign Quay a little bit, but he's still under contract for. Next year, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, and Edrin Cooper's cheap, so maybe you could spend money on someone there and just have a trio of just monsters in the middle there. So
I do have a number two that does kind of fit what you're saying. And I have Dre Greenlaw as my number two. He would be an upgrade in my mind from Isaiah McDuffie, who was re-signed. But to me, Isaiah McDuffie is kind of like your linebacker four. Like, he's the guy that backs up your other linebackers, not necessarily the guy that you want to have starting. So what I wrote down with Dre Greenlaw, with him being a reliable tackler, goes along with what Brian just said about Quay kind of growing as a pass rusher. So you blitz Quay, you stay Dre, and then you cover with Coop.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those three guys that do those three different things, and I think that would fit really well with the Packers 4-3. Afam said he's going to need a robotic Achilles. I mean, he seemed fine in 2024. So, Jake, who's your number two?
This is where I do have Nick Bolton. I don't see a scenario where Kansas City lets him walk, but Kansas City does have to pay somebody on the offensive line, and they have a very good quarterback, so you may want to protect him. So they have some decisions to make here. They still are trying to get a star wide receiver over there. Maybe a Davante Adams could go over there, maybe try to win a ring.
Don't even put that into the ether.
I'm just saying it's a possibility. Davante, he's starting to hear some crazy stuff about his career. You know, the trajectory of his career is kind of going like this since leaving Green Bay. So maybe he goes to Kansas City and revitalizes it. I'm not saying I want that to happen. But, Nick Bolton, 25. He's just speed, and he just runs through your face. I would love Nick Bolton in green and gold, man. He would be tremendous.
He said him and Cooper in the middle, love Quay outside linebacker, or move Quay to outside linebacker. Could see that. Simon, who you got number two?
Khalil Mack. It was kind of for the same reason that Mike and Bryant were saying, is I think it would be smart to maybe have an older guy who's been around the block and has shown, you know, he's an all-pro. A la kind of like Julius Peppers, bring him in for a year or two and teach younger guys, and hopefully they develop into something. That I could see it, depending on price tag.
I gotta be thinking at 35 that he's not looking to like get a major payday.
Well, I mean, Von Miller did, so.
Yeah.
That's fair.
All righty. Mike, anything extra you want to throw in on maybe Dre Greenlaw or Nick Bolton?
No, I mean, I just don't see it. Don't see it happening. The amount of money those guys would command, and yeah, it'd be great. You know, you'd love to have three, you know, stud linebackers, but you're not really going to have all three of those guys on the field, you know, at the same time. And so the way I see the Packers, you know, going into next season is you've got Walker and Cooper as your top two linebackers. And I think McDuffie and Hopper are going to compete for that third spot. And then they'll, you know, they'll go from there. That's just how I see it shaping up.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing linebackers for our draft coverage as well. I think it's very plausible that they draft a linebacker again as well.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are kind of pipe dreams for me.
My number one's not a linebacker. Sorry
about that. There's mine.
All right. Brian, give me your number one defensive target.
Yeah. It's Byron Murphy. I feel like he could come in, step in, and be the number one corner for our team pretty easily and just solidify that position. 27 years old, kind of coming into the, you know, not, I don't want to say back end, but late prime years of his, still playing very well. So I think Byron Murphy would be a huge signing for us.
All right. Jake, who's your number one?
I have DJ Reed.
Hey, me too.
He just seems like the most plausible guy on my list, honestly. The rest of my list is more of a wish list, I guess I'll call it. but DJ Reed makes a lot of sense. Veteran, been in Seattle, been in New York with the Jets, played with a lot of talented players, been in some big-time games. Obviously not happy with how the Jets were last year. Nobody on the Jets is happy with how the Jets were last year. So I think he would make a lot of sense for Goot. Talking about what Mike was talking about before, about, you know, the kind of signings that the Packers make, DJ Reed kind of feels like a Packer signing.
And I have his numbers written down. He actually had the number 23 PFF grade for corners that played at least 50% of snaps. He had the number 38 NFL QB rating in coverage. And he kind of fits the Packers, like, type of size and weight kind of guys that they go for. I think he could be kind of a reliable.
Yeah, he's like he's a little shorter than what they usually go for.
He's 5'9", 190 pounds.
So that's why I stepped away from him, was because I don't feel like the actual draft or take a quarterback below 5'10".
Okay. But outside of that, like, when it comes to free agency, Goot doesn't really care about that stuff, because, like, when you look at, like, Za'Darius Smith and, like, Xavier McKinney and stuff, like, that's not guys that they would normally draft. So, like, they're willing to forgive a little bit more when it comes to, like, free agency stuff.
And I view him as more of a slot corner. If they've proven they can play, I think that's, at that point, you take the size away a little bit. So DJ Reed is a very good player. I wouldn't hate that either.
Simon, who do you have number one?
Okay, so this is – because I also, like, thought about putting Byron Murphy or DJ Reed, but this is strictly for, I think, a little bit of cost effectiveness too. I have Paulson Adebo. So he was a little hurt. He got hurt last year. I think he broke his femur or something, which isn't like – it's not like a career ender or anything. So I think they could get him a little cheaper. I think he's still a hell of a player. I think he'd fit right in with Jeff Hafley's system.
For sure. Steve said McDuffie played about 40% of the snaps last year, probably less in 2025 if Quay is healthy. That's sure. That's fair. Mike, any of those DBs stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean – The only question I have about Reed in terms of whether the Packers pursue him or not is the size question. You know, the same thing, a little bit of the same thing with, and I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but the corner from New Orleans who's hitting the market.
Paulson Adebo.
Yeah, Adebo. He's a little bit on the smaller side as well. That's where, if I guess just my gut says that if they're going to spend big, if they're going to spend big on a cornerback, I'm more in line with what Brian said, that they would go with Byron Murphy, try to go after him because of the size. And he's certainly still young enough at 27. I don't think even though he's been in the league 6 years now, had four with Arizona, two with Minnesota. But 27, they're not going to be concerned too much about the age there. I just think from a size perspective, I think Murphy is maybe the more likely target, but that's just a gut feeling.
Yeah, I looked at Reed as more of a slot guy with the comments and actually just the play of Keyshawn Nixon being better on the outside than maybe they would consider kind of a slot corner with DJ Reed.
I just wonder. Yeah, and I just wonder with the fact that Nixon is 5'10", and then if you're going to go out and spend big money on a cornerback and you're going to bring in another cornerback who's like 5'9", that's hard for me to see. That I think the matchups there start to maybe get a little bit difficult. I my gut is that if they're going to spend on a cornerback, it's going to be somebody with some size like Murphy, or as we said before, if they go more of like the mid tier, a guy like Ward, who has more size than a guy like Reed or a Debo.
All righty. Anything else you guys want to say on the defensive side of the ball? I know we brought up most of the guys that are free. I don't know if there's anybody else that really jumps out. Like, I don't remember what Rasul Douglas's contract situation.
No, thanks. I'm good on Rasul.
I don't want him the way he left the building. So, but I will say there is a fair crop of like middling tier cornerbacks. So I really fully expect them to bring at least somebody in, especially if they're going to move away from Jair. Whether that means they're going to sign someone that sets the market like Byron Murphy, I think he'll probably get the biggest contract in free agency under the quarterback market. Him right there with DJ Reed or Ward. I think that's like a middling tier one we'd like, but I feel like he's like, there's a top tier is Murphy, bottom tier would be like Slay and them. I think Ward's right there in the middle, so I think he'll get paid, but it won't be outrageous. So I think for sure, I think they'll bring somebody in because there is quite a few of them on the market that can play.
Christian Fulton was the other one that I was maybe looking at. Another kind of those guys that would be like a depth type corner. All right, let's jump to the offensive side of the ball. So there's been an interesting development this morning that caused a shakeup potentially in some of our rankings, but I'm not gonna say anything about it because I know for a fact that he's gonna come up during our conversation.
Who, Tyler? Who?
I don't know. His number is available if he wants to. Never mind. Simon, I'll let you go first. He's your number 5.
I had him on the okay. It was exponentially easier for me to find defensive players than it was offensive players. I had like a list of like 10 to 15 defensive players, and I had to cut out a bunch of them based on a contract and stuff. Number 5, this is kind of unpopular, but I think could be interesting. Darius Slayton,
he's on my list. I'll just
really, I'm actually, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised by that. Darius Slayton, the Giants. I feel like he's been a little bit injured, but I feel like a lot of his play has been due to the quarterback situation. I think he's immensely more talented than what his numbers show. Maybe not immensely, but I think he's more talented than what his numbers show.
I actually don't think his injuries are much of a problem. He's never played less than 13 games.
Oh, maybe it's just because their quarterback situation is so bad that like it's hard.
That's definitely
factual. It just seems like it.
I mean, yeah.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Averages 15 yards per reception. So if we're looking at guys who can kind of fill in for Christian Watson while he's out, but Darius Slayton, he averages 665 yards a season and about 4 touchdowns playing with Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito. Just kind of a carousel.
the one game wonder. It had to be against us.
He was 12 of 20 on contested catches in 2024, which is 60%, which isn't bad. Not the best run blocker, but I also had Darius Slayton on my list as well.
Also, spoiler, four of mine are wide receivers.
So are mine. Well, yeah, I got four wide receivers on my list too.
Jesus. Before a certain someone became available today, my number five on my list was Darius Slayton, and for that reason. Three seasons over 700 yards, ran a 4.39, 6.1, someone that can stretch the field. So I had Darius Slayton on my list as well. I didn't want to have three wide receivers, so I put my fifth one as, and this one is kind of an interesting one, but it was, I put it as Mekhi Becton, and that's because I thought at guard he was absolutely destroying people. And I was thinking of it more as if you sign Mekhi Becton, that might free you to kick somebody like an Elton Jenkins or Zach Tom or whoever else inside to play center. So I think that could be an interesting, like, just have this huge mauler that's going to block for Josh Jacobs on the line. So now Darius Slayton, yes, I had him as five. I removed him because there's a certain someone else that hit my list. So I slid in Mekhi Becton there.
I like it. Jake, who's your number five?
I didn't change my offensive rankings, even though that somebody became available. But before I knew they became available, I had DeAndre Hopkins. I was looking for an older guy, cheaper, sure-handed. We had a lot of problems with drops last year. He may be a guy that can come in with the mentality of and show Wicks and Reed, who I love, by the way, but I'm just going to tell you, they kind of act like their shit doesn't stink. And DeAndre Hopkins can show them that their shit definitely stinks, and he can show them how to be a pro's pro. That's my opinion on it.
Michael, we'll come back to your question on a defensive guy when we get to trades in a little bit. Justin, hold your horses. And yes, there are centers on this list as well. So, Mike, out of any of those guys so far, any of them stick out to you?
Well, I know you guys are going to be bringing up like a whole bunch of wide receivers and stuff, but from your list. So I'm gonna let you guys banter about the wide receivers and everybody available out there, and then I'll maybe have some thoughts later on.
All right.
Yeah. Why don't we just do non-wide receivers yet? Why don't we just do non-wide receivers first then?
That's literally the rest of my list.
Okay. Non-wide receiver on my list, was my number five. So going from that, I have Drew Dahlman. He's one of the best centers on the market if Josh Myers walks.
So
I also have Drew Dahlman, by the way. He's very good in the zone blocking scheme, which the Packers run very well. So he would be an upgrade at the center position, in my opinion.
Yeah. So other than wide receivers, Drew Dahlman was number one on my list.
Wow.
Actually,
he's also number one on mine.
So and number two on my list was Will Fries, the guard out of Indianapolis that got injured. That once again, kind of thinking about, well, if we bring in another really solidified guard, that's going to give Jenkins or Tom, if we kick, you know, I know Jenkins didn't shine when we kicked him out to our right tackle or anything, but that would give you, bringing in someone solidified in that position would give you a chance to shuffle around that offensive line again. So non-wide receivers on my list for Drew Dahlman and Will Fries and Mekhi Becton.
Simon, right. You got any other non-wide receivers? You got
my one non-wide receiver, Ryan Kelly, from the Colts. I know he's kind of mulling retirement, and this would be just another guy, kind of like Jeff Saturday, where we could give him like a 1-2 year deal, stick in the center spot, and not not have to worry about it necessarily. And we could see what the guards look like. And I like leaving Elton Jenkins at guard if at all possible. That's just what I think, and then see what happens with the rest of the guys.
Yeah, Taylor asked the question. I don't see Tom moving from right tackle. He was one of the best right tackles.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, for sure. I would say maybe even a Pro Bowl snub as far as that's concerned. But
he's about to get paid. He might become the highest paid right tackle in the NFL this offseason.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibilities.
Mike, what do you think on the subject of potentially adding centers or guards or tackles or moving guys? I mean, are we looking at another carousel of training camp where everybody's playing everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to do some of that because they always do. In fact, I posted a story on the website today, with Goody's comments from the combine about, about where they feel they're at with the offensive line. I don't know whether or not Josh Myers is going to be re-signed or not. If he's not, I don't see them spending free agent money on a center. I think they would. I think this is my opinion. I don't think Zach Tom's moving from right tackle, and I don't think Elton Jenkins moved from left guard. I think if Josh Myers isn't back, I think they're gonna let Jacob Monk and Sean Ryan battle it out at center. Jordan Morgan's going to step in at right guard, and you know, they're going to keep the tackles the same and where those guys have been. That's kind of how that's my best guess right now as to where this goes. Now, if they end up using a day two draft pick, you know, a second or third rounder on a center or an interior offensive lineman or something, well, then that, you know, that changes the equation. But I just don't see them at those positions going out and spending anything on the market. They drafted a ton of offensive linemen. I think they're going to draft some more, and yep. And they're going to count on the development and the competition there to sort it out.
Yeah, in all of our draft years that we've been doing draft prep and you know, looking at prospects and stuff, we always do offensive line because we always know the Packers are going to draft them.
Yeah, Goody's only not drafted an offensive lineman one time in the drafts that he's been in charge of. In the 1 year that he didn't do it, he had drafted 8 offensive linemen in the previous 3 years, and then he skipped like the 1 year. So now, as I said before, you know, they're not going in with double digit picks into this draft, so to say they're going to draft like 3 offensive linemen again or something, I don't know about that, but I would be really surprised if at least one of those draft picks in late April is not on the O-line.
For sure. Justin said Tate Routledge from Georgia incoming. Yeah, we'll be doing offensive line, I think, is our second draft prep show. Mm-hmm. Steve agrees with Mike. He said the Packers roll with Evan Dietrich Smith at center. They don't typically prioritize centers. I like the idea of Sean Ryan playing center and Jacob Morgan or Jordan Morgan playing right guard. I think that's your best 5 linemen, even if you don't sign somebody in free agency.
Yeah, I think that's the one option that not a lot of people are talking about is would Sean Ryan end up taking over at center, and I think it's a very realistic possibility. It's not one that's getting a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, I agree.
He played a little bit in training camp last year, right? I'm pretty sure I saw.
Yeah, he did. He did, and he actually ended up playing there in the playoff game when Myers got hurt late in that game. Ryan was the guy they stuck in there to finish that game out. So,
all right. Well, let's do the wide receiver discussion. So from 3-1, everybody's lists. Brian, who's your number 3?
Well. Chris. Well, I had Darius Slayton, but I only had 2. But I'll say Chris Godwin. I feel like he's a pretty solid. Like, you know, people might be like, "Oh, he wants to play out of slot." Well, he's 6'1". He ran a 4.4. But I feel like he could be. You know, he might not be the hugest deep threat, but you know, 15, 17 yard, you know, in routes and like that depth. He's a very good wide receiver. Very strong hands. So I feel like he could play outside wide receiver for us and do a good job doing it.
All right. Jake, who do you have number 3?
I have another lineman. This is where I have Trey Smith, offensive guard from Kansas City. He's a really, really good player, by the way.
He got franchise tagged.
Yeah. No. He did. Yeah. He got
They tagged him.
Yeah, he did.
They did already?
Yeah,
I just looked it up today. They're the only 2 guys that
they
got
did it right. Yeah, right before the deadline. Yeah,
man, I just checked this morning. I didn't see that. My bad. Well, he'd have been good in Green Bay. The Bucs did win again, Michael.
All right, Simon, who you got number 3?
Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Oh,
I like. I think he was a good deep threat last year, and. Like another guy, I think he was also kind of like a product of bad QB play too. But he really turned on at the end of the year with some of his deep routes.
It's weird when you look at his 40 time.
Yeah,
good deep ball. He ran a 4.7.
Yeah,
he's like smoking people down the field every time red zone go to the Titans game. It was him running in for a 70-yard touchdown.
I have kind of a similar tiered what I would say wide receiver. I do have Darius Slayton above this guy on my list, but I have Josh Palmer from the Chargers. I think he would be kind of a good deep threat in Watson's absence. I like his combination of size and speed. He's got 271 targets and 184 receptions in his career and only 13 drops. I think he had a part in making Mike Williams expendable for the Chargers. So, Mike, I don't know if there's anybody from that group that kind of stands out to you at all.
I'd feel a lot better about Palmer if that Chargers offense hadn't been so putrid in the playoff game. that was just a disaster for Justin.
It's hard to watch.
Felt absolutely horrible for him. But I'll let you guys keep talking about
why. Running them. Justin said, N'Keal Westbrook-Ikhine had half the catches and double the touchdowns of most wide receivers this year. Yeah, that'll get you. Okay. That's Titans gonna tighten, I guess. All right, number two, Brian, who's your number two?
Yeah, the only last wide receiver on mine is Davante Adams. I mean, I get it. So the whole thing about this whole wide receiver class for this free agency, there's no one that, even with T. Higgins, where he was potentially going to be free agent, that dude's missed like half his games. And we're sitting here talking about Jair being gone. T. Higgins has missed a bunch of games. So there's no one in this free agency class that I feel like is a really, really big needle mover for us. I feel like it's going to be someone that we can put in to help us. Hopefully, if we drafted someone this year, gives them a year to really kind of develop, and these other young guys, you know, a chance to develop, and Christian to get healthy. So I feel like if you're going to do that, you might as well go for someone like Davante Adams, who's going to be a game changer for you, but you know he's not a long-term plan. It's a two-year plan with Davante Adams. So that's why I put Davante Adams.
I like it. Jake, who's your number two?
I have this one's tough after Mike kind of just poo-pooed on Tom not going to center. this guy would be so cheap. Top 10 pick 2020. I have Jedrick Willis moving back to his college position of right tackle, because obviously left tackle is not working out for him in his career. He got benched for it clearly, but having him go back to right tackle, get coached up by the Packers because they know how to coach offensive linemen, and then move Tom into the inside, I think that would be interesting.
Justin brought up that Adams knows the offense as well. Is a good thing. Okay. So, Simon, who's your number two?
I have Diami Brown from Washington. I think he's an interesting option. He's still only 25 years old. Yeah.
I like that. Number two is where I had Chris Godwin. Even if you want to just use him as a slot receiver, like, yes, Jaden Reed is obviously a slot receiver, but he's used in so many non-traditional slot receiver ways that you can just put Chris Godwin in as an actual slot receiver and still do whatever you want behind the line of scrimmage with Jaden Reed. And my other thing with that is that if you do that, I think it frees up having Godwin as a possession receiver, frees up Romeo Doubs to do some of the downfield things, which in Christian Watson's absence could be beneficial, because we've seen like Romeo Doubs can get down the field, but we've had to have him in more of like a closer to the line of scrimmage role. So I'm interested to see if they had another guy that they were a little more trusting in closer to the line of scrimmage, if they would send Romeo Doubs down the field a little bit more.
Yeah, some of the more disgusting catches we've seen over the last 2 years downfield are all from Romeo Doubs along the sidelines in the end zone, like just nasty catches.
The one that pops back into my mind all the time isn't even from the regular season. It's from the preseason.
Yeah.
So. The one that he had against the Patriots in the preseason.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the one that keeps popping into my mind. But no. Let's go through the number ones really quick, and then we can talk about all of the wide receivers that we've brought up already. But, Bryant, who's your number one offensive free agent target?
Yeah, that was Drew Dolman. So, for me, I don't have no wide receiver.
All right. Jake, who's your number one?
You guys ready for this?
Aaron Rodgers.
No. It isn't Aaron, though. And it's Aaron Jones. Bring Aaron Jones back to Green Bay. Right. Give us a 1-2 punch that we need. Bring him back, baby. Bring him back.
That's just your fandom talking.
It is. It really is. This is where the wish list came back into effect here.
When I seen him play Skull Dude, he was dead to me. I'm sorry.
All right. That's got weird. Simon, who's your number one?
Oh, God. Davante Adams.
Bring I have Adams on mine as well. I don't think he's having as big of a decline as some people are acting like.
He's not. He's
been on bad teams. He still had 85 receptions last season, averaged 12 and a half yards per reception, was over 1,000 yards, and had 8 touchdowns. Like, yeah, Steve brought up his big game against Jacksonville late in the season, but if he can still put up a 9 for 198 and 2 touchdowns, I'm at 32 years old, I'm willing to give him a 1 or 2 year deal and also kind of bridge the gap in some of the development of the, all the young guys that are on the roster. So Mike, Darius Slayton, Chris Godwin, Josh Palmer, Davante Adams, Dyami Brown, all the wide receivers, any of the wide receivers, none of the wide receivers.
I mean, first I want to say this, as much respect as I have for Chris Godwin and the fact that I think in Tampa Bay, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin have been a very underappreciated and underrated 1-2 receiving tandem for a long time, that their longevity and what they've done with their production there. But man, with that injury that Chris Godwin is coming off of, I just don't know if I could go anywhere near him right now. There's a huge medical risk there, as much respect as I have for him. The only free agent receiver, quite frankly, that I would be totally on board with the Packers bringing him back, if it somehow worked out, would be Davante Adams, because he could step into the offense. There'd be almost no transition period or very minimal transition period. I agree with you, Tyler, and that I don't think Davante Adams is in the type of decline that some people seem to claim that he is in. But honestly, like, that's the only guy that I would go out there to get as a wide receiver. Otherwise, I'm just a believer that, and I know the Packers wide receiving core last year did not perform up to expectations, and you know, the growth and the progress that was counted on, wasn't quite there over the course of the entire year. But I think wide receivers, with all due respect to Davante Adams and those guys, I think the wide receiver market has gotten out of control in terms of what you have to pay these guys. And to me, the college game, there is no position that college football cranks out more and more often than wide receivers. You can draft multiple wide receivers every year. Just bring new guys in every year and see what you got, and see who can rise to the top and be a big time performer for you. And so I'm one who would just be extremely hesitant to spend free agent money on a wide receiver, with the exception of Davante Adams, because of his history in Green Bay and his history with Matt LaFleur and all of that. That would be the one exception for me.
Do you think Brandon McManus would be willing to give him his number back?
that'd be interesting. I don't know if I can't remember what number did McManus have in Denver.
I don't know.
Number 8, maybe.
I
think he was number 8. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how necessarily he landed on 17. Obviously, number 8 went to Josh Jacobs. So
probably the seamstress in Green Bay just convinced him, like, hey, we have all these 17 jerseys. Well, all we have to do is take the name off and just put a new name on.
Change the nameplates.
And he was number 10.
I don't think McManus would have any trouble giving his number 17 back to Davante. He could take something else.
Yeah. And I agree with you about the wide receiver market too. When you see the Bills give someone like, no offense to him, but Khalil Shakir, what was it, 3 years, $60 million, or 4 years, $60 million, or something like that?
Those are the kind of contracts that just blow me away. I'm like, really? Like, when, I mean, the number of wide receivers, accomplished wide receivers at the college level, who are available in the draft every year, and you're going to pay $20 million a year for essentially a mid-level production guy, and I understand in the salary cap world, I would constantly be drafting wide receivers and recycling them all the time. And then if you feel like you got a legit all pro, you know, or a guy on the Hall of Fame trajectory like Davante Adams, by all means re-sign him and pay him. But if that guy's not heading to the Hall of Fame, I'm finding the next receiver in the draft and just replacing him and moving on.
Yeah. We do have wide receivers coming up. That is our first draft series position that we're doing on the 18th. So 2 weeks from today, we'll be discussing wide receivers and potentially some controversial rankings coming from us, which will be fun. I'm very looking forward to our wide receiver rankings.
All right.
Steve said, if Green Bay adds wide receiver, it should be an alpha like Tay. Adding a mid-tier free agent stifles the growth of Wicks. I mean, if there's one guy that you would want in the room to try to coax the development out of Dontavian Wicks that you want, it is Davante Adams. He's on the exact same career trajectory so far.
Yep, 100%.
Route running ability is everything.
Yeah. Michael asked the question, how concerned are you of Dobbs' concussions? I don't know, Mike, if that's anything you've had any conversations with Goody or anybody about.
Yeah, Goody was asked that specifically at the combine last week when a bunch of, you know, reporters like myself, we sat down and got a chance to talk to him for about 40 minutes just in a hotel conference room in Indy. And he was asked specifically about Dobbs and the concussions. And he said, you know, they don't have any long-term concerns in that regard. They feel like, you know, they feel like he'll be back to his old self.
Sweet. Justin asked us no Lockett or DK talk. Well, we're going to get into some of those guys coming up right now. So I'm confident that some of these guys are going to come up as far as wide receivers and trades go now. So anybody want to volunteer to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, Brian.
Every time.
Because I'm going to keep I'll do my number two one that I would say. And that would be a second round pick and Romeo Doubs, or you could probably swap in like Dontavian Wicks. I would prefer we push Dawes, and this would be for DK Metcalf, because I feel like he would be like I just talked about. There's no one on the free agency. I'm sorry. Apparently my house is flooding right now or something. But so
no big deal. No big deal.
Free agency market. That's going to be a longer term answer. If you were to trade for DK Metcalf, that's probably at least a 3 or 4 year answer of someone you're going to have that position that can stretch the field, that is a big dude, that can run block, that can be mean and bring some attitude. So that's where I fell on that pick with DK. And of course I had him on my list, and then it all came out with the combine. They were on my notes on my computer talking about DK. So because I think he would be, you know, the size and speed we're kind of missing out of the room without Christian Watson.
I do have one request though. Leave the Binky in Seattle if you come to Green Bay. I'm not down with that.
Jake, you have a wide receiver trade?
I do. I was trying to keep down a secret because I told you that in confidence. But I'm going to put it out there.
I'm just saying, because we're talking on wide receivers, let's just keep it consistent, because I have a wide receiver trade also.
All right.
You want to go last and you can give yours
No. I'm ready now. The stage is mine. No, I'm ready now. Here we go. Jaire Alexander, a fifth and a sixth to the Dallas Cowboys for CeeDee Lamb and next year's fifth round pick. What do you say? Dallas has got to blow it up anyways. They are a trash can right now.
Hold on.
They're going to give them up for a fifth or sixth round pick.
What?
You are dreaming if you think they're going to give them up for a fifth or sixth round pick. We might get Jaire. We'll be lucky to get a seventh for Jaire. We're trying to dump that salary. You got to throw in a first for CeeDee Lamb. I'm absolutely sorry. But I'm all on board with CeeDee Lamb. Let's get that out there. If you can get him, and I would throw in our first. But for a fifth and a sixth and Jaire, I mean, they do a lot of dumb stuff in Dallas. That would be pretty stupid on their end.
See, the only reason I said that is because Jerry Jones is just taking his family and making them all in charge over there, and we've seen Jerry Jones' history over the last 30 years. So that's why it's like, hey, it might work. You never know.
Justin's throwing strawberries at you again.
You son of a
– not the strawberries.
Yeah, I know. I have to give a higher pick, but
Simon, do you have a wide receiver trade at all?
I do. I kind of went
added mode and forcing trades like Jake.
Dude, I actually tried that on Madden and it worked. I shit you not.
Nah, on what, rookie mode? What are we talking about?
I'm playing a superstar, first of all.
Salary cap turned off.
Yeah.
No, it's on.
Okay, I kind of try to go a little out of the box, or outside the box. I'm not very good at trades. Trades I feel like are very hard to come by in the NFL. And both of the guys I have are interesting because they've both been injured players that I think we could get for a little cheaper. I have Chris Olave.
Oh, interesting. That was one of the guys he had a wide receiver trade. Yeah. That was one of the guys that I guessed, actually.
Oh, good one. Yeah, I'm not very good at like putting together trades, but I feel like you could get them for like a third or so. The Saints are in a dumpster fire right now with cap space. And I know he's maybe a couple years down the road from a contract, but I feel like they're literally going to restart their franchise really soon. Like that team is so old and they're going to be looking for draft picks for any of their guys to restart. I feel like we get Chris Olave for a little cheaper than what you'd want for like an alpha wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, they showed it with Lattimore already that they're kind of ready to blow it up a little bit. Justin brought up Alec Pierce from Indianapolis, sparking any interest. I would have interest.
That would be in Alec a good Pierce, one.
I don't That's think the Colts would have any interest in really trading him.
I think Olave would probably take a second at minimum because he
was maybe, yeah.
But that's an intriguing one that I didn't even think of. I think that.
So I am glad we'll have four different players to potentially throw at Mike to shoot all down with all of his quiver full of arrows. But I have Christian Kirk for a fourth round wide receiver.
Ooh, good one. That's a good one.
The Jaguars have their wide receiver of the future in Brian Thomas Jr. They are going to need more draft picks with their new coach. He's making $15.5 million, which I don't think is crazy as far as the wide receiver market is going. He was 18 yards short of 1,000 yards in 2021. He had 1,108 in 2022. He was on pace for 1,100 in 2023 before his injury. So I think Christian Kirk for maybe a fourth or maybe a fifth round pick, I think is something maybe the Packers could do. So Mike, out of those guys, no on all of them or...
First off, I don't think any of those wide receivers you proposed are going anywhere. I don't think those guys are getting traded at all. Even with all the noise surrounding DK Metcalf, I mean it was refuted pretty quickly as soon as that news hit Twitter by a longtime Seattle beat reporter, and he just tweeted Metcalf's not going anywhere. I mean, what are the Seahawks going to do at wide receiver if they trade DK Metcalf? Where do they go from there? Like, I just don't see that. I just don't see that happening. And I'll expound on what I said before. I'd rather find the next Romeo Doubs in the fourth round or Dontavian Wicks in the fifth round of the draft rather than give those picks up for mid-level NFL guys that are going to cost too much.
While we're on the subject of wide receivers, let's say somebody falls in the first round. Would you draft a first-round wide receiver? If somebody fell to you,
if there's a target there, absolutely. I wouldn't hesitate to draft a receiver in the first round if that guy's the best one on the board. I mean, I know there's, obviously everybody talks about how long it's been since the Packers drafted a receiver in the first round, since Javon Walker in 2004. But there's been some pretty credible reports out there that the Packers had their eye on Justin Jefferson. They had their eye on Brandon Ayuk the year that he came out. If things had fallen a certain way, I think the Packers were going to use a first-round pick on a wide receiver in those years. And it just didn't fall quite right, and those guys ended up going elsewhere. So I don't think it's like just some hard and fast philosophy that they're never going to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely would not rule it out at all.
Interesting. All righty. Do any of you guys have a second wide receiver on your trade list?
Oh, no. I thought we were doing one defense, one offense.
Okay. So who's all the edge rushers that you guys all have us trading for?
Okay.
Bryant, give me your other trade proposal.
Yeah, and I don't know if this would be enough for them, and this is kind of a pipe dream, but I put our 2025 first-round pick, Lucas Van Ness, and a 2026 second-round pick for either Myles Garrett or Max Crosby, because I do think they're like franchise cornerstone type of players. Like if you put Myles Garrett on our defense, good Lord, I don't care about the first and second-round pick that we no longer have. because
I put almost that exact same trade for Crosby, and I added a third round pick coming back.
Yeah.
So a first and a second for Crosby and a third. So Jake or Simon, either of you guys have Crosby or Garrett?
Mm-hmm. I have Garrett. This is actually the trade that I actually cared about. So I thought about this one. So I was reading up on
a seventh round pick.
It sounds like the Browns are willing to kind of drag this out, right? They don't, you know, from reports I read, they don't really like this draft. They think next year's draft is better. So I wrote down two first round picks that would include this year's and next year. So they get next year's too, if that's really what they want. You give them LVN. You give them a fifth. All we get is Myles Garrett. I don't give a shit about anything else. I got to get this off my chest, by the way. First round picks are overvalued.
Yep.
I always think of this Family Guy skit when Peter Griffin has a boat and he's getting offered a trade for a box. And he's like, this box could be as valuable as a brand new boat. And he's like, ooh, that's interesting. He already owns the boat, right? That's how I feel about first round picks. You could have the first round pick, or you just have this guy who's already good. I just give him all the picks. Give him 12 years straight of first round picks. I really don't
care. All right, let's pump the brakes.
No, I don't care about first round picks. They don't matter.
That false equivalency, but all right.
We got to go for it one time in my freaking life, dude. We got to take one swing. And the way that Coop was talking, he was talking about up in the urgency. Send them 7 first round picks. I really give a shit list.
All right, so Jake's willing to sell at least half of his soul for Myles Garrett.
Jake, you ever seen
entire soul? I don't need this thing.
You ever seen Draft Day?
No. I don't. Why would I watch anything that involves the Cleveland Browns on purpose?
Jake wants to give a 5th round pick for CeeDee Lamb, but 7 first for Myles Garrett.
CeeDee Lamb is like 5'9". They make 100 of them. How many Myles Garretts do they make?
And David goddamn Putney, because I feel like it.
LVN needs to bulk up. He needs to get
CeeDee Lamb at 6'4".
Yeah, LVN needs to bulk up, bro, for sure.
Steve said, Jake, you've totally redeemed yourself. All right. So Taylor said, imagine the pop at the draft if we get a first-round wide receiver. That would be very interesting. Justin said, didn't I see Ayuk possibly available for trade? I mean, we kind of knew the 49ers were going to have to blow it up eventually. They weren't going to be able to afford all their all-pros.
Will you trade for another wide receiver coming off a torn ACL? I don't think so.
Yeah. Simon, what's your other trade?
So I have Bradley Chubb. He didn't play this last year because he tore his ACL at the end of 2023, but his 2023 tape it's superb. And speaking of teams that have like very odd, expensive contracts, Miami's kind of up there a little bit too. And I think we could get him for like a 5th or a 4th. And if he tipped the year off last year, if he comes back and he has a clean bill of health, I think he could be a stud on as a rotational kind of guy. He's not even old either. He's like 28 or maybe 29 going into the season.
You know what his contract situation is like?
It's pretty gross after this year. Next year, his cap hit is like $28
million. He'd have to be restructured for sure.
Yeah. But there's also an out as well next year.
Okay, that makes it a little bit more potentially, I guess.
Actually, I just pulled it up. Max
Crosby, Myles Garrett, Bradley Chubb.
I mean, well, first off, one other comment I want to make on the wide receiver thing is my hope is that the Packers can actually find, whether it's on day one or day two of the draft, that they can find the next Christian Watson in this draft in terms of the size, the speed. You're not going to have Watson until, you know, probably more than halfway through the season.
Yeah.
I think that's that type of receiver is your draft target, and you're probably not going to be able to find that guy on day three. So, but with regard to the defensive trade proposals, I mean, guys like Myles Garrett and Max Crosby are the guys that, you know, that do give you pause and they make you think about, okay, as unlikely as it would be for Gutekunst and the Packers to make a move like that, I wouldn't totally rule it out if it costs a couple of first round picks to get a guy who, you know, to get one of those guys who is, you know, literally considered one of the top, whatever, like, you know, I mean, Myles Garrett's been a defensive player of the year and Max Crosby's not far behind. I mean, we're not, you know, we're not talking about mid-level, you know, guys here. We're talking about guys who are at the top of their game and at the top of their position group across the entire league. Those are guys that, yeah, you definitely think about it. Is that a move that's going to happen? I would still say it's unlikely. I don't think Myles Garrett or Max Crosby is going to be traded. I think they're both going to be staying exactly where they are. I don't think they're going anywhere. That would be my prediction. But I am not totally against considering making a mega move for one of those two guys if they are legitimately available.
If you were Brian Gutekunst and you heard from the Raiders or the Browns that the Lions or the Eagles were trying to trade for one of those guys, would that make you consider upping your offer?
Oh boy, that's an interesting one. I think that gets tricky. I mean, I think you have to decide what you think that move is worth, and if somebody else is going to make a bigger sacrifice than that, I don't know. You know, getting into a real bidding war in that regard. You know, I mean, as you know, if the reports were true, what would it have been? I guess it'd be like 6 years ago, 7 years ago now. If the reports were true that Goody was thinking about giving up the multiple first round picks for Khalil Mack, and ultimately the Raiders took the offer from the Bears because they assumed the Bears' first round picks were going to be better picks than the Packers.
Same thing happened with Chase Claypool.
Yeah, and that tells you that it's not something that's totally off the table. But by the same token, you know, they're gonna set what they think is worth it, what they think the value is, and if somebody's gonna push higher than that, then they're gonna be comfortable walking away from it.
Yeah. Sure. Steve said Cleveland has to make a lot of other moves just for the right to trade Garrett there in cap hell.
Yeah, that's 100% true. I mean, and what you guys were saying earlier too about like New Orleans and Miami. Their cap situation. I mean, my goodness, they're absolutely in salary cap jail, and it's gonna take a while to bust out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that could free up someone like Cam Jordan out of New Orleans too. You never know. But...
Or DeMario Davis.
Yeah.
Speaking of old.
Yeah.
Old. No, they're fantastic players, but that's the type of stuff that I'm talking about where they're just going to end up blowing up the whole franchise and starting over, like, real soon.
All right. Any other names you guys want to throw out there? I know guys like Garrett Wilson have been brought up. Cooper Kupp has been brought up. Justin said now is the time to pursue Garrett. I mean, the Browns have to, at some point, be honest that if you don't trade him, you're just going to have a dude who's just going to be pissed to be on your team because they're bad, because they don't have a choice but to have cheap players on the team because they are paying guys that aren't playing for them. Yeah. So I'll say you guys want to throw out there.
Well, I know there was like small hints of Garrett Wilson wanting out of New York.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned because he seems a little like Stefon Diggs-ish with his attitude and stuff. But that could be someone you could kick the tires on if they're going to trade him, but that's going to cost you a lot. If we were going to trade a first-round pick, I'd want it to be for someone like Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or a pass rusher that's going to change our front. Like, if you put Myles Garrett on our defense, it completely changes the defense because it helps all the cornerbacks. It just helps everyone. He's a Hall of Fame-bound player still in his prime that can literally wreck games for people.
Yeah,
like Khalil Mack did to us the first time, his first game in Chicago. I mean, we still won because the Bears suck. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers got hurt and there was fumbles and everything else. And that was all Khalil Mack. So, I mean, that you could – if there's even a fraction of a chance of bringing a player like that, you call them and be like, what do you need for him?
Yeah.
So.
Alrighty. Well, Mike, appreciate you hopping on with us. Definitely, even though you were kind of shooting down some of the names that we brought up, the insight on wide receiver, I do think is very, very true on the potential of drafting one versus bringing a guy in via free agency or trade. I do think that even though we had a bunch of guys that we brought up as far as wide receivers are concerned, the insight on drafting them, I do think, is a very true thing, especially when you bring up the number of wide receivers that college football is churning out. So I think that's a very good piece of insight that I don't think the four of us kind of really had in mind. So we appreciate that very much and appreciate you taking the time to hop on with us again.
Offensive line too. Your offensive line insight. Like you're absolutely right. We draft three of them a year and we're developing them all the time. So maybe they don't turn around and give someone like Drew Dahlman a 3-4 year contract for $70 million, because unless they really want to just be like, I'm done looking for a center, here it is. Maybe, but no, you're absolutely right in that aspect too. So
yeah. That's why Mike makes the big bucks and we're on a podcast.
Hey, I always enjoy talking to you guys. Obviously, I know it doesn't always work out for me to come on, but I get a kick out of it. I enjoy the conversation and appreciate you guys, and hope to see you again soon.
We'll see out to see what the draft is like. I'm sure you'll be a very, very busy man during that weekend, but if
you have anything going on,
we'd be happy to bump into you up there.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide if I'm just gonna sleep in my cubicle at Lambeau Field for like 3 nights rather than
room under your desk. We can all sleep there.
Home. So, that's gonna be something once in a lifetime kind of thing. So it should be pretty cool.
Alrighty. Well, the four of us will be back 2 weeks from tonight, the beginning of our draft series. We're going to be starting with wide receivers. Then we have offensive line and corners and defensive line and edges and linebackers. So we have a ton of that. And then the last Tuesday night before the draft, we're going to be doing live mock drafts. So no show next week, but 2 weeks from now, we'll be back with tons of draft content over the next month following that. So again, thanks, Mike, for joining us, and everybody for all the comments. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks then. Also, join Jake and I tomorrow. We'll be talking about the Bucks and the Badgers basketball. So, all righty. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.